Hey guys, very excited to be back. This time to talk about The Apprentice US, Donald Trump's reality TV show. So we're gonna start off with season one, episode one, Meet the Billionaire. So in this show, basically, there are 16 contestants from all over the United States, from all walks of life. You have people with only high school diplomas or excellent at sales, people with Harvard MBAs or with an MD and an NYU MBA. So we really have like a whole spectrum. One that has a PhD and who's a political consultant. You have all types of skill sets. So Trump chose from thousands of applicants these 16 contestants. And you have an interesting mix. So eight men, eight women. And he makes the choice early on to divide them as by gender, basically, to have two teams set up, male and female. And it's gonna be interesting to notice the dynamics. Trump is advised by George Ross, one of his legal counsel, and he's gonna be the coach for the female team. And he has a female advisor who's gonna be the coach for the male team. The first challenge he's going to give them, by the way, the eventually what's going to happen is they're competing for the chance to be the president of one of Trump's companies for 1 year and to have a very high salary. So they're all competing to become the apprentice and to come under Trump's wing. And to do that, Trump's going to give them a challenge every week. And every week there will be one team that has done more poorly on the challenge, who's going to be responsible for that poor performance. And basically, they're gonna select the project manager and the two people who were least helpful, and they'll be the ones considered basically to be fired. After 15 episodes, we'll come to the last one, who's going to be the winner. So there is a so this is how it's going to play out over the next few weeks. The challenge this week is basically to set up a lemonade stand and to sell lemonade. All right, so Trump is already showing the contestants, no matter how qualified they are or how, you know, educated, quote unquote, they might be, how resourceful you have to be to really get things done. So he's putting them with a small budget in New York City. He's giving them 1 day to see how much lemonade they can sell, how much they can generate. So you have the man, the woman trying to be as resourceful as possible, each choosing a different location and trying to get, you know, maybe free tables or cups from nearby restaurants or vendors. And eventually Trump is going to very clearly, we're going to see that the men have an issue with the location. They're not they haven't picked a good location. And Trump is going to share very practical advice that he thinks on location. So let me play that for you.
Always felt location is important, but the people behind the deal are much more important than location. I'd much rather have a really smart, talented guy doing a deal in a not so good location than an idiot doing a deal in a great location, because you'll make money every time. Always felt location is important.
All right, so we see Trump here as basically saying that even though location is very important, right? We know that location, location, location is a tenet of real estate, that it's much important, more important to do business with a reasonable and trustworthy person than, you know, if you have the wrong partner, even with the best location, it can turn sour. Whereas if you're dealing with the right person, even a not so good location can turn out better. So it is important, the location, but what's much more important is the person you're doing business with. So this is one of the first takeaway. All right, so as I said, the men are going to do poorly in this challenge, and they'll be the ones confronted in the boardroom, you know, basically to designate who were the poorest performers among their team and who might eventually get fired. And I want you to listen to this interaction that Trump had with one of the contestants, and then I'll comment on it.
Well, you can sit in here very quietly. Got something to say?
I'm just kind of listening to what everybody says, and
unfortunately, at this point, listeners, we got plenty. We need talking.
I understand that, but I'm not just going to talk to talk. Everybody here is a good leader. I'm not going to argue with that, and I'll stick up for everybody on that. But
they were saying that Troy isn't a good leader.
I didn't finish. I'm saying that.
Now, Jason, let me just say something. When you're trying to be chosen by someone, you don't interrupt them and say, "Let me finish." That's number one. You know, in terms of life, we're talking about life, right, fellas?
Yes, sir.
So when I ask you a question, and I'm not finished with the question, you don't say, "Let me finish." That's a bad move. You know, Jason, well, you can sit.
All right. So basically, George Ross is asking one of the contestants why he's not talking that much, like why he's not giving any feedback. And the person quickly says, gives a generic answer, to which Trump interrupts him and asks another question. And basically, he interrupts Trump back. And that's a bit disrespectful. If you see the video, you see the difference in age, you see the difference in status. Trump is just reminding him that if he seeks to get something from Trump, so the validation or his respect, he should definitely be more careful in his speech. So basically, to be careful when you should try in a way to please the person whose favor you're seeking, right? He wants approval from Trump. You shouldn't, dismiss or interrupt or interject like that. So that was the first one. The second one is another excellent take, again, in the same interaction, pretty much.
David, leader is supposed to listen, take everything in, and then at that point decide what's going on, not all of a sudden get out of the gate and start delegating.
Do you think they would have listened to you?
Yeah, because I would have listened to them.
See, I think that's business school stuff. You have to act, not just listen. Troy.
It's easy to answer these questions today.
Right.
Because you're a Monday morning quarterback.
Good. You're right.
Good. But by
all right, so Trump thinks that seeking consensus all the time, even though Trump is credited to being a very good listener at the White House and in other places, he really seeks counsel from many different sources. Here he's saying that it's basically business school. It's basically very theory oriented to think that before acting, you have to. You just come to an absolute consensus. It's very hard to do, first of all. And second of all, you're losing precious time. So Trump is going to favor the bull, right? To favor the action and favor quick decision-making. You'll see this as a recurring theme. He wants to come to decision quickly and not, he's really the antithesis of the person who loves to do committees after committees after committees. He wants to go straight for the action that makes the most sense. That was another interesting comment. Now we'll get closer to who's going to get eliminated. I won't really, hopefully not spoil too much, but there's a project manager and two contestants. One knew that he was going to be put up for elimination, and he was very proactive. Basically, he wrote a list of pros and cons of each of his competitors to show to Trump how he thinks, pretty much. And the other person was not as prepared. First of all, he didn't expect maybe to be nominated, but this is what he says when he's asked about his performance.
David, if you were the team leader, do you think the result would have been different?
Not in this case, because sales is not my forte.
Right, so he admits that sales is not his forte, even though he knows that the top line is extremely important in real estate and for any of Trump's business, right? Sales is really what the lifeblood of any business. And admitting so openly to his lack of expertise in this field is really shooting himself in the foot. And this is the person who's going to be eliminated. And this person, for you to understand the caliber, my perception of the caliber of the apprentice is that the first person on the first episode of the first season of The Apprentice to be eliminated is a person who's a medical doctor, an MD, MBA, who's a venture capitalist investing in biotech. So this gives you an idea of truly that book smart and street smart are uncorrelated, and that people who are extremely book smart should make an effort to go on the other side. And of course, people who are very street smart should do the effort to complement perhaps with books. But I think this clearly illustrates that relying on like formal education is not enough to succeed, of course, in the real world. Also, throughout the show, he was less... he didn't portray competence. He portrayed more agreeableness, right? He tried to be friends or overly friendly with customers more than being value added. You'll see it in specific ways, but won't spoil it. And finally, the reward for the ladies it was to getting to visit Trump's apartment and to get introduced to Melania Trump. And after the tour, so they're very impressed. Trump has a massive penthouse with marble, gold everywhere. It is a very impressive tour. And at the end, he basically tells the women that this was just kind of to motivate them, but that they have to put back their competitive hat, suggesting that competition is on and to not be distracted by this, by this opportunity. So here is how this sounds.
So this is the beginning. Now you have to put on your competitive hat again, forget about this and go out and work and see how you can do because you want to win.
All right. So not be distracted by, I heard this in another Trump speech today. Don't believe like your own press or your own encouragement. The fact that they won this first challenge means nothing for what's going to come next. They shouldn't rest on their laurels. So Trump said that at some point he saw like articles saying that he had like everything touched turned to gold, and he really believed it. And then he took uncalculated risks, and that led him to trouble in the early 90s. So you want to celebrate when it's due, but to not let it get to your head and keep your eyes on the prize. So basically, like he's telling them to put back the competitive hat to continue the competition. All right, so I hope you appreciate this first look at the first episode of the first season of The Apprentice. I'll try to continue covering these as we go along also with the books in parallel. Thanks a lot for tuning in.